Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. I wouldn't be surprised if you wondered, what in the world am I thinking to pick a sermon titled Relax when you're looking at Thanksgiving preparations, Christmas madness, an economy out of control, and an overlay of anxiety, that I must have lost something. But it's in the text. If you heard what Sue read so well, it says, relax, as hard and as difficult as that may be. But it's not a command. It's an invitation. And when Jesus was saying in this part of the Sermon on the Mount to relax, what he really is meaning is a warm and loving embrace, like you might say to a troubled child or a troubled friend as you held them and embraced them and say, relax, let go. And this is really an invitation to let go into a consciousness of God. Because as he was saying in this sermon, you know, I'm worried that you get so preoccupied about getting and about gaining that you miss what I'm trying to give and where it comes from. I think Wordsworth, in his poem, The World Is Too Much With Us, caught it, where he said, the world is too much with us, late and soon. Getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. Little is seen in nature that is ours. We have given our hearts away, a sordid boon. And this is what Jesus is calling us to do. And he said, really, to marinate your heart and mind in the reality of God's love. Take a walk. And that the explosion of God's goodness may operate in us. Relax and move in my being. Because in your gaining and your getting, God's response is by giving so that we need not worry. But God's help is for us in that life is an adventure, and he bids us to enter it. In Corinthians, you heard the passage where God pours out blessings in an astonishing way, and that those who see it we'll see that he is there in anything and in everything. And what we can do when we see this is understand the abundant thanksgiving of God's extravagant love. He said there isn't a language that we can really capture that. And the Bible is rich in that. If you go through and see the places of thanksgiving and praise that we're called upon, and you can see the persons who are caught up, and there's an ecstasy of gratitude and thanksgiving. You think of Hannah going to the temple, or you think of Ruth as she tried to express it to Boaz, and you think of Elizabeth as she received her announcement, or soon we'll be hearing again that Magnificat of Mary in her praise and understanding. And then, of course, there's the richness of St. Paul, who said, I give thanks in everything. No matter where I am or what the circumstances are, and he lived in circumstances that were impossible, I cannot help but give thanks. So what I'm trying to say this morning and to deal with you in the few minutes we have, my goal is that when we live in a culture of greed, and a culture of gain and a culture of anxiety, can we create a climate of gratitude? And I firmly believe that it's the agenda of the people of faith, of houses of worship, to so work in a way that we can leaven the hardness of heart in the structures of our society so that there can be an awareness and a climate of gratitude, of goodness, and that the churches and places of worship should actually be laboratories and gyms of our rehearsal of how we go into the world and not just propagate but live out a compassionate and meaningful existence. And I think if you really want to get a hold of the scriptures, we really have to understand that faith is best understood with gratitude. And gratitude is a response to love. If we don't get that, we build on sand. If we're gripped by it, we have a foundation which the storms of life can never bring down. And I think 1 Corinthians 13 spells that very well. It said, you know, I could give it all. I can be a martyr, but if behind that isn't the movement of love, it's a clanging gong and a tinkling cymbal. That gratitude comes out of that sense of being loved, out of cared for, out of the bounty of God's great goodness. And as a clinician and psychotherapist, one of the things I have discovered in my practice over the years is where there's a deficiency of gratitude, there is greater depression. And people don't get depressed, even in most difficult circumstances, when they're grateful. And you see wonderful examples of that in the African-American community, where in the midst of great tribulation, they can come in with this one and praise Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's a sense of gratitude that grips them and us if we're anywhere near it. But one of my inspirations in looking at this is an author, Margaret Visser. If you aren't acquainted with her, Canadian writer, done some magnificent stuff on all areas. But last year she came out with a book called The Gift of Thanks, of Thankfulness. And she is inspired in that by a French sociologist of the earlier century saying, gratitude is what holds a society together. It is the moral memory of mankind. And simply the polite showing of gratitude is empty unless it carries a source of pleasure and a sense of joy. I am indebted to Margaret Visser because she said in her book, one of the wonderful examples of gratitude is Charles Dickens' book, Great Expectations. Maybe you recall it. And Dickens had an amazing insight into the complexity and the paradoxes of nature, but and of society. And there Pip, the young man who is given a good life and enjoying it, and then this old wretched fellow comes to the door and wants to hold his hands, and he's repulsed. And finally Pip just feels obligated to bring him in, and then in the conversation he realizes that he should listen, but he doesn't want to hold the hand, which is the symbol of the tie. And the man said, but you know, as a boy, you hid me out for a few days until I could escape. And I went to Australia and became a sheep farmer. And then Pip tries to tell him all the things in his life, and he said, I know them all, because I was sending back funds so you could live so fully. And Pip almost collapsed into the arms of his great benefactor. And then he was able to come to redemption through gratitude, because Magwitch said, "I didn't do it for reward. I did it out of pleasure." And Pip's life is transformed in a way of amazing change. And I think Tom Brokaw gave us a gift in his book where he talked about the greatest generation. And you know what made that generation great? Born in the Depression, honed and refined in the trenches of the Second World War, or in the air or on the sea, and coming back to a society that then said, "Okay, you haven't had a chance of education. We're going to give you the bill of support so you can go to college." And the men and women who came out of that came out with a sense of responsibility and gratitude to the society that they lived, that they survived, that they've been helped. And so when they headed up the businesses and industries of our country, it wasn't to milk them of their profits and exploit them for what they could gain, but it was trying to guide a company so that the disparity between management and labor and what they did was more a parity, and brought to us a whole amazing insight. But some of that was lost when our generation then tried to help our kids so they wouldn't have to suffer. And you know, that damned and didn't deliver. So we got a pretty narcissistic civilization, and we're called to be able to move beyond that. Gratitude is really the fruits of maturity because we've been loved. And all of this, how it breaks through, is help us to understand the great love and care and wonder of God, so that we can relax into that life and feel it. Now, the Thanksgiving proclamation this year, I didn't hear one from a governor or a mayor or a president. It came from Karen Armstrong, who is that prolific scholar of religion and society, who authored and just released this last week a Charter of Compassion. A magnificent statement. I hope we can deliver it to you so you can see it. But compassion is born out of a people who have experienced that they're loved and cared for and feel so abundantly marinated in love that their hearts and minds overflow with that richness and that bounty. So we cannot but share. And so I put in the bulletin a poem by Mary Oliver on the sun. She talked about being caught up in the majesty of God's creation and the meaning of our being and response to our living. When we come here today and have this abundance that we see about us, that we share, help but realize in the community that we have and where we are God's love people. How can we help but loving and living compassionately for all creation and creatures? Amen.